Okay, if you have your Bibles, you turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. What we have been looking at over the past couple of weeks is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see little names attached to some of the flames of fire. These deal with the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, but there are seven basic ways in which He works. In Revelation chapter 4, in describing the judgment seat of Christ, it continues on to say in verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 elder seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." Now, what you have in that chart does not cover nearly as many scriptures as, for an example, we're going to use tonight. So you might want to jot some of these down for later study. What we find biblically is that each one of us will be judged not on the basis of our thoughts, but on the basis of what we have done. The Bible says that the things that are unimportant, wood, hay, and stubble, will be burned up. They're not going to make it. They're not going to be rewarded. As a matter of fact, the wood, hay, and stubble will take away from the rewards that we have. On the other hand, the things that we allow the Holy Spirit to do through us, those things will be rewarded, and they won't be burned up by the fires that are before the throne of Jesus. Now, this is important to us, or it should be, because any time you know that you have to go to court, you want to have your ducks lined up. You want to have things prepared. And the only way that you can prepare for this event, and there's no way you're going to get out of it if you're saved, you're going to be there, and you're going to pass through these seven flames of fire. The only way you can prepare is by allowing the Holy Spirit to do His ministry through you now. And this is a pretty important thing. Not pretty important, extremely important. So far as witnesses that are brought to court, you don't need any more witnesses than Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is in you, and He sees everything that you do. He knows your motivation. He knows everything that goes on. So when we have these seven ministries, and God's going to judge us on the basis of whether we submitted to the Holy Spirit's ministry in those things. Now, most Christians don't even know what the Holy Spirit's ministries are. Most Christians don't even know that there are seven fires, flames of fire that represent the seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. Most Christians aren't even aware of this, but you see it in your Bible. We're trying to provide a foundation for you to understand these things and that you would be ready for when that day comes. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, tonight we're going to be looking at the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we find very clearly in Scripture, in John chapter 14, let's take a look at verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," all right, here's what He is sent to do. It says, "He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." I don't want to get political, and I'm not going to, but I think it's important for us to recognize something that I've seen many times and you may have seen as well. You take an adult, let's say they get saved in their 40s. They've seen quite a few elections already. And I've seen this take place. They may be, when they get saved, extremely liberal, almost socialist. And after they get saved, not because a preacher is preaching it, but because of something happening internally, they change their views on things. And they're getting away from man's failed concepts, and they're listening more and more to what the Bible has to say about God-given rights, God-given freedoms. I've seen this happen many times, where an adult will completely change their viewpoint when nobody's trying to change them except the Holy Spirit inside. And I want to call your attention to part of this verse that Jesus spoke. He shall teach you all things. All things. Now, do you take that literally? I mean, what Jesus could have said is, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said. The Holy Spirit has added two words to what man would want to hear. And that is that every aspect of your life, he will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. I've known of people, and as most of you know, I've held a variety of secular jobs, and I've had some positions where I could oversee, look what people are doing and why and how. And it's always been of interest to me how Christians are able to solve problems. Let's just say that they are involved in welding and they have a very complex piece to put together, weld together, and they don't see how it can be done with the equipment that they have there. And I've seen people who rely upon the Lord, not just rush into something and try to do it and then fail, but instead they kind of stand back and prayerfully ask the Lord, how can this be done? And without any further education for man, without going to school to solve the problem, without seeing it on the internet or looking it up in some book, God is able to give them a solution. I've seen this happen with mechanics dealing with cars and trucks. I've seen it happen with people who had impossible situations from man's perspective. And they go to the Lord and they say, Lord, I need your guidance. And the Lord provides it for them. So what we're looking at here is an all-encompassing teaching that the Holy Spirit gives, not just about spiritual things, but about material things as well. He shall teach you all things. All things. That's important. And there are some Christians that block the Holy Spirit from doing that because they don't look at the Scripture and understand that the Holy Spirit isn't just there to deal with spiritual things. They don't know this. It deals with material things as well. God can provide solutions to every aspect of your life. I mean, what was Noah before he built the ark? What was he, a shipbuilder? No. When, I don't know how many of you have been up, where is it, in Tennessee or Kentucky, where the ark encounter is, where they've reproduced the ark. Very complex, very, very important that thing floats. And, you know, you look at Noah. He's never built an ark before. He doesn't have any experience. And what did God tell him to do? Did God give him a step-by-step guide? All right, here's where you put the nails in. This is the type of nails you're going to need. Here's where you put pegs in. And this is what you do to get them swollen so that they fit tight. Here's how you make the pitch to give a good covering on the ark so no water gets in. He didn't have any of that. God told him, build it three stories high, this long, this wide. And that's all he told him. Noah had to come up with the rest, and he had absolutely no experience. I think that there's a very good case there for him to depend upon the Holy Spirit, who can teach you all things. Who can teach you all things. Let's go over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. By the way, this thing of teaching you all things, it can also involve interpersonal problems. I think everybody has experienced family difficulties from time to time. Sometimes maybe for children, it may be siblings, it may be for extended family. There are always areas that need correcting and need the help of the Lord. And there are an awful lot of people who base their solutions on something that they've heard from parents, in-laws, outlaws, grandparents, whatever. And they may be right and they may be wrong. You can't afford to be wrong. As a Christian, your light is supposed to shine. If you fail in these areas, then your light doesn't shine. It's submerged and the flame goes out so far as relatives and friends go. When there are family issues, people grasp almost anything. Somebody comes up with an idea. Hey, try this. Somebody comes up with another one. Try that. And people are very vulnerable. And I'm talking about Christians now. Very vulnerable to providing solutions based on what somebody else tells them. Or they come up, they concoct some idea by themselves. I mention this because it is such a common thing. I mean, I do enough counseling. I know this. Christians very often have never gone before the Lord and said, Lord, here is an issue where I need your solution. Now, you would think that the Christian would, at the very first sign of any problem, would turn to the Lord and anticipate that God had an answer. But instead, what I find is that the majority of Christians, and they make a mess of things by doing this, but the majority of Christians go on the basis of something that somebody else has told them. And they don't realize the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to teach them all things. Does that include family issues? Yes, very definitely. And so I just want to emphasize that because it hits everybody. And you can't lock the Holy Spirit out and say, well, you know, this is what this person told me, and just exclude the Holy Spirit. If you're going to exclude anything, exclude what everybody else says. Just focus in on what the Holy Spirit says. Okay. In Luke chapter 2, let's take a look at verse 25. It says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Here's a deadly mistake the Christians make when they've been raised in weak churches. They do not understand the working of the Holy Spirit in weak churches. And one thing that this teaches us is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us individually and gives us promises individually. And those things are very, very important if you're going to grow in Christ, if you're going to get closer to Him. You have to understand all the things that He does and customizes to you. Here's a guy by the name of Simeon. How many years did he live teaching others about the coming of the Messiah? He was excited about it. Somehow the Lord spoke to him and said, "You're not going to die until you see the Messiah." Now, did the Holy Spirit say that to everybody in Jerusalem who was saved? No. He customized it to Simeon. And to put it bluntly, there are times when the Holy Spirit wants to tell you things and tell you what is to come. And if your heart has blocked out that possibility and you think that God has to speak to all Christians everywhere the same thing, then you're going to miss something. And when it comes your time to pass over that part of teaching, that flame is going to burn you up so far as that part of your life when the Holy Spirit was trying to tell you something and you weren't listening. It's all going to get burned up. What God wants to do is to be involved in every aspect of your life, not just the things you put into a box that you call spiritual things. The Holy Spirit teaches things to individuals that are customized. There may be things, for an example, the Lord lays on your heart to call somebody. Call them on the phone. Talk to them about what the Lord has been doing in your life. And the Lord lays that burden on your heart. I've shared with you before, there was a couple, a man and wife who stayed down here a few months out of the year. And we got to know them, wonderful, godly people. And one day, early in the morning, I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning or something like that, Lord spoke to me and said, "Get up and call their house." They lived up in Indiana. And I kind of argued and said, "Well, Lord, it's, you know, too early in the morning. They're going to be asleep. I'm going to wake them up. That isn't the right thing to do." And the Lord said, "Do it." And I did. And called her up on the phone, and she said, "I'm so glad to hear you. I think God sent you." And she described sitting at her kitchen table as we spoke on the phone. She had newspapers laid out all over the kitchen table, and she had a loaded gun in front of her. She said, "I was about to take my life." And she says, "If you had waited 15 minutes, it would have been all over." Now, what is that? That is the Holy Spirit placing a burden on someone's heart to do something at a particular time that may not sound reasonable to us. I mean, if we listen to people, they would say, "Oh, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Wait until everybody's up, then call. It would have been too late." But the Holy Spirit said, "Do it. Do it now." And we look at Simeon, and we find that the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "You're not going to die until you see the Messiah." The Lord didn't say this to everybody in Jerusalem that was saved. He spoke to this one man. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's personal. He speaks to us individually. And most Christians today have locked that possibility out of their minds, because much of their early upbringing has been based on very weak teaching about the Holy Spirit in church. Hardly anything about what the Holy Spirit does. So it's important to recognize and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, and just don't push it out and say, "No, you know, this can't be. We've had a couple people here who at one time believed that God doesn't speak to people today. This is a different generation. It's a different time period. And they go into this dispensational thing where they say that God just doesn't do the same thing today as he used to. Well, that contradicts Scripture, doesn't it? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Word says. So they're wrong. And the important thing for us to recognize is not so much that they're wrong, but recognize what God says is for you. And then receive it and be blessed by it. Now, how does the Holy Spirit teach? Well, I would say that the majority of Christians who have not locked out the Lord and locked out the possibility of God speaking to them, the majority of Christians have over and over and over again been taught by the Word of God. And sometimes they're sitting at home and they're reading the Bible. Sometimes they're in their car during a lunch break. They're reading their Bible at night. They read the Scriptures. And I think everyone who is saved can testify that God can speak to you without a preacher being present. And God blesses us with his Word so that whether it's in our home or in a parking lot or whatever, that the Holy Spirit can speak to us from his Word. Now, there's, for those of you that haven't heard this, in the New Testament, there are two Greek words that are translated into one English word called word, W-O-R-D, W-O-R-D. These two Greek words mean something entirely different. And they are the ministry of the Holy Spirit. One Greek word is the word rhema. And that is the word that is used to describe the speaking of the Holy Spirit without any written word, whatever, just the speaking of the Holy Spirit to us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. In verse 16, it says, And then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Take a look at this word right at the beginning. It says, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said. That word, W-O-R-D, is in the Greek, the word rhema. And this is something where the Lord spoke to him and told him, this is what is going to happen. And that, you know, it wasn't something where God passed him a note, that the angel Gabriel came and gave him a book to read, or he went to the Judeo-Christian bookstore in Jerusalem and picked up something and read it and said, wow, this is it. It is where the Holy Spirit, W-O-R-D, translated from rhema, spoke to him and reminded him what Jesus had said. So, you know, at this particular point, there probably wasn't even any gospel written yet. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were written quite a few years after Pentecost. And at this particular point, that none of that was in writing, so far as we know. So what happened was the Holy Spirit spoke to him and gave him this information. Now, it's the same way when you talk about the rhema. This is what occurred with Simeon. This is what occurs to us individually because we have a Heavenly Father who believes in communicating with us. Now, the other word is the word logos. Let's go over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and let's take a look at verse 25. It says, "And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia." And then it talks about their further journeys. In verse 25, when they had preached the word. All right. Actually, this is the word logos. Because it is when they preached the word, there were people taking it down. People were writing it. This is the logos. When you pick up your Bible, essentially, that's the logos. That's the logos. That's the Greek word. The Holy Spirit has many ways of teaching. And let's say in a church environment. Question for you. Can songs teach us? Can the Holy Spirit use songs to teach us? Okay. Now here is where you need good discernment. Here's where you really need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because the world out there is trying to change your mind. The world out there wants to turn you against the things that God says are valid and you need to follow. And, you know, they just want to make a mockery of the things of God. One of the deadly things that has happened over the past 15 years is something called high self-esteem. It is taught in our public schools. It has ruined many people's lives. And essentially, high self-esteem says, you are above everybody else. You're smarter than your parents. You know more information than your grandparents. You're able to do things that they could not do. And so, you are better than anybody else. And after years and years of brainwashing in public schools, kids come out with the idea, I deserve whatever I want. I deserve whatever I want. Even if it's a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I deserve whatever I want. And I will go to any lengths in order to get it. Getting back to the church environment. There are some songs we have to be very careful about. Because they actually confirm and encourage some of the false teaching that's out there in the world. I'll give you an example. There's a song. Actually, I like the song, except for one area where it actually makes a person think that what the world is teaching is right. I don't know how many of you know this song. It's called Boundless Love. Boundless Love. Sometime you might want to look it up on the internet. No, better not. The song goes like this. There is not a mother, sister, friend, or brother that loves the way Jesus can. He proved his love for me when he died on Calvary. He gave his life for fallen man. Absolutely true. Every part of it. Then the chorus. His love. His love is a boundless love, and it reaches down and touches me. His love is an endless love that will last for all eternity. And then it says this, and this is very subtle. It slips in the world's doctrine. It says this, Jesus wants to love you. There is none above you. You are precious in his sight. Now, the part about being precious in his sight is true. But the part that says Jesus wants to love you, there is none above you, does that contradict the Bible's teaching on humility and humbleness? Yes. It absolutely does. There's a scripture in Philippians 2. It says, let no thing be done by vainglory, but by lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Doesn't that contradict what that song says? You see, that song picks up on a theme that is running rampant around the world. I mean, it actually causes road rage, the world's idea. It causes people to crash cars into somebody else because they don't get their own way. It causes people to stab people over a chicken sandwich. It causes all sorts of things where people are not aware of the Bible's teaching on humility. You don't find the prophet Elijah storming the palace of Ahab and saying, you have a lot of stuff that you shouldn't have. I think I want it. And going in and taking it. He doesn't do that. You do not find people who are really under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit who try to elevate themselves above everybody else. Now, there was a time where the disciples, let me give you chronology first. Jesus said that you will judge over the 12 tribes of Israel. He told this to his disciples. And right after that, they started fighting as to who should be the greatest. Well, who's going to have the bigger tribe? Who's going to be over that, them? And of course, probably everybody wanted to be over the tribe of Judah. But they were arguing over who is the greatest among the disciples. After Pentecost, all that dissolved. All that totally disintegrated and was washed away. Why? Because the Holy Spirit taught them humility. Taught them to be in submission, first of all to God, and then said, you're going to be in submission to somebody all down the line the rest of your life. And so that is what God wants. But you see, the world, even in the Christian music has been affected by the world's ideas. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay, I copied down the wrong scripture again. Essentially, I'll read this and we'll find the actual scripture in just a minute or a little while. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. That is the right one. It says, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, once again, you see that the Holy Spirit teaches, but when he teaches, it isn't in man's wisdom, in man's words. It goes beyond that. One of the interesting things that I found, and I've done a little bit of traveling, been in different areas, preached as the Lord has given opportunity. And one of the things I find is that the Holy Spirit doesn't know any language that man teaches. When you're in a Spanish area and you're teaching the Word of God, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches. And, there is no language barrier. Whether it's Colombia or Peru or wherever, or even in Africa, there's always a way that the Holy Spirit communicates. And he doesn't communicate simply with man's words. He communicates by affecting the heart. By affecting the heart. I've shared with you before, and I know some of you now are reading some of the great godly men that God has used down through the years, men and women. One of whom is Charles G. Finney. Finney was invited to go on a tour of a plant that was manufacturing clothing, I believe. And they had row after row of seamstresses in this huge building. And they had a catwalk above all these seamstresses, and I guess this is where the managers would keep an eye on things and make sure things were being done right, and they could visualize it. And so Finney went with some of the managers up on the catwalk, and they were walking by, and Finney just stopped. And there were some women down there who were sewing who just had to stop. No explanation. They just stopped. And one of them started giggling and laughing. And Finney just looked down at them. And we have with Finney several men who are known for their prayer time and their effectiveness in prayer. So you know what they were doing. And so all of a sudden, these women that were laughing stopped everything and started weeping. And the weeping went from one woman to another, to another, to another. Now, there were hundreds of seamstresses in this building. Before very long, there was a wail of crying that came up from all these people. And the owner who was with them said, "We're going to have to stop production altogether right now. There is a place outside that we can meet. And let's do that. And let's have all the employees come out. And Mr. Finney, I want you to speak to them." What happened in that building did not involve words. These women who were seamstresses, who were working one minute, the next minute came under conviction, and at first they laughed, and then they went to tears. And that went like fire from one person to another, until the entire building was consumed with conviction and people crying over their sins. And if I remember correctly, and this is in Finney's biography, there were close to 200 people who got saved that day. When he asked how many of you want to ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, take over your life, and become a Christian. And there were that many people. And again, I just want to point out, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So many times it involves people's words. God uses people. But at the same time, the teaching of the Holy Spirit many times doesn't even need words. Have you ever had a time in your life where you may have been doing housework, you may have been traveling someplace, and all at once you felt the presence of the Lord, and God was telling you you needed to get something right in your life? Have you ever had that happen? You don't have the radio on, you're not reading your Bible, you're driving, or you're at some place where you're not reading. Has anybody ever had that happen to them? That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we would call the Rhema, because it doesn't require anything written. It doesn't require it. The Holy Spirit teaches through His own words, previously given. I know our time is running out, so I want to read this to you. If you want to take this down, it's in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2. Daniel 9 and verse 2. It says, "In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet." When the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, it was the Logos or Rhema? It was the Rhema. But then after Jeremiah got it, what did the word become? The Logos, the written word. And Daniel got a hold of the written word. Okay? He understood the number of years whereby the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 7 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So the Holy Spirit can teach through his own words, previously written down, and they've been bound and put in a book that we call the Bible. His word. His word. God's Spirit teaches obedience. And this is pretty important. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. This was to the man who was the business manager for Abraham. Abraham said, I want you to go out and find a daughter, a daughter-in-law. I want you to find a wife for my son Isaac. The only problem is, in those times, they didn't have any GPS. They didn't have house numbers. They didn't have street signs. And I'm sure Eliezer said to Abraham, well, where is this place you want me to go? Oh, it's up that way. Eliezer agreed because he had a connection. He had a connection with the Lord. And Eliezer left with a caravan on some pretty dangerous roads. There were lots of road pirates in those days. And he went that way, the way Abraham pointed out. And then he says this in Genesis 24. He said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I want you to think about this. How difficult a task this was and how much he had to depend on the Holy Spirit. Have any of you ever been to New York City? Anybody? Okay. How about Philadelphia? Detroit? Okay. If you've ever been to any of these large cities, I want you to look at somewhat similar circumstances. Take away all road signs between here and the city you're supposed to go to. No road signs whatsoever. I want you to take away all house numbers, all areas that where they have, you know, like south side, north side, and they have little archways where you go through and say, okay, this is this area. I want you to think, all those things being taken away, you have no way whatsoever. And somebody sends you to visit one of their relatives. You've never met them. You've never met them. And they say, I want you to go there and find them. Well, it's 1,000 miles away. A lot of places in between where you leave and where you're supposed to end up. How would you do in determining where this place is? Eliezer knew. Eliezer knew that the only way he would make it to the right place was to depend upon the right instructions. Used to be people who worked at convenience stores and garages would get their jollies by getting some unsuspecting tourist to stop in and say, can you direct me to such and such? And they'd send them to Timbuktu. They'd send them way out of their way, deliberately trying to make it hard for them. I think those people come from a long lineage of people that go back to Abraham's time. And this is how they get their jollies. So, Eliezer knew that. Smart man. And he determined not to depend upon any human guidance, but to listen to the Lord. That's what we all need. Now here's the issue. We have one of the flames of fire that is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. How often has the Holy Spirit spoken to you and said, this is how I want you to do something? If you did it, great, you're going to receive a reward. But if the time comes that your works are brought over that part of the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you failed to even listen to the Holy Spirit, and you failed to carry out what He said to do, those works surrounding that event are going to be burned up. They're going to be burned up. I want you to consider, every one of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us must go over these lamps of fire, each one a ministry of the Holy Spirit. God didn't put His Holy Spirit in us to be ignored. He placed His Holy Spirit in us so that the Holy Spirit might teach us all things. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we thank You for Your word, both the Rhema and the Logos. We thank You, Lord, that You provided Your word in black and white when we have a hard time listening. And yet, Father, we know that if we set our hearts to listen to You, we can. We can hear Your voice. We can respect and honor Your guidance, even in areas that don't appear to be spiritual. I pray tonight, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would bless each one that's here tonight. Prepare their hearts. Get them ready for a good report when the judgment seat of Christ comes. And Father, we pray that You would bless us throughout this week. Use us more. That this world needs the message that we have. This world needs salvation. And whether they recognize it or not, it's the need. It may not be something that they want right now, but it's the need. And Your Holy Spirit can use us to present that need to others. So, Father, I pray that each one of us would be bold and submissive to Your Holy Spirit, humble, knowing that we can't do anything on our own, but that we need to depend upon You. And Father, we give You the praise and the glory for what You'll do. We expect Your Spirit to work through us this week. Help us to listen and then obey. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Trust we'll see you on Wednesday.